This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The title of this Super Bowl halftime show officially is the E-Trade Super Bowl Halftime Show. The subtitle, or the alternate title, is Disney's Tapestry of Nations.
Wow. Brought to you by Enron and... It was a different time, people.
It was such a different time.
Remember last weekend when the Super Bowl happened, or did you already forget? To be honest, it was kind of forgettable. I mean, the game was great, but it had a real buzzkill ending. The commercials were pretty cringy. Too many QR codes, Scientology, and Jesus commercials for my taste. And the halftime show was pretty mid. I mean, don't get me wrong. Riri featuring Little Fetus did their thing. You know, she sang about 45 absolute bangers in 12 minutes from a floating Super Smash Brothers stage surrounded by dozens of gyrating dancers in puffy white costumes. The whole thing was giving opening credits from Look Who's Talking. But it was fun, but it wouldn't even crack the top five best halftime performances. Maybe even top 10. Now, my buddy Matt Frederick, who you may know as one of the hosts of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, had the honor of performing in the greatest halftime show of all time. You know, you're probably thinking of Prince or Beyonce or last year's Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, Kendrick, 50 Cent, Mary J, or even the infamous Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, Nip Slip show. Well, you'd be wrong, because I am talking about in the year 2000 and the Disney Millennium Performance. I'm Will Spinach Dip McFadden, and this is Hashtag Storytime, brought to you by iHeartRadio.
Well, Will, do you play any music at all, or have you ever been into music like that?
I'm a tap dancer at heart.
Yeah?
I mean, I dabbled in tap dancing. Now, I can sing. I don't play any musical instruments, but yeah, I can sing, and I can do a little bit of tap dancing.
Oh, man, I get that. I was in this thing called the Maskers at Forsyth Central High School, and we were a performance group. So yeah. We had to sing and tap dance and yeah. Other kinds of dance in front of our schoolmates.
I would have been right there. I would have been next to you, harmonizing and you know, shuffling off to Buffalo.
Yeah, well, dude, shuffling off to Buffalo is one of my favorite activities, I think. once you learn it, it is kind of fun. It doesn't matter what kind of shoes you get on.
Exactly. I still do it. I'd say it's the move that I do most often, the tap move.
Oh, yeah. I think it might be the only one I remember, honestly. But
I still got a time step or two. I could do a little Spanish time step. We should take a class. We should meet somewhere in the... Because you're... Are you in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta.
Okay, so we'll meet in, like, Utah, and we'll take a tap dancing class.
Oh man, I can imagine Utah's got some dope tap dancing classes.
Yeah, right, right. I think it's a different style of tap in Utah.
Yeah.
Much more upright, you know, very.
Yeah, there's like a sheet you have to put your hand through or something. Right, right. I don't know.
You have
like
to
that.
Tap through the sheet. There's a little hole in the sheet, and you put your tappies through and you tip tap away.
Sorry to everybody in Utah.
I'm not sorry. Deal with it.
So I've been a drummer since, gosh, a long time ago. I took up drumming because I played a snare drum in my uncle's garage out in upstate New York somewhere, just one time as a kid. Uh-huh. And I just fell in love with being able to create sound just with my hands and my arms, and just there's something very primal about it. And yeah. Honestly, it spoke to me. And I didn't have to, it wasn't as complicated as the piano I was trying to learn. Right. It wasn't as difficult physically on my fingers as learning a guitar. Cause my dad was has always been a guitar player, and he's awesome and a songwriter.
I also have just like kind of nubby little fingers too. So yeah, the guitar, I could never really get that, the spread to hit the chords. I was also drawn to the drum when I was a child. I was like, yes, Animal's my favorite Muppet. So let's go.
Animal rocks. So I just took this up as a thing, and I didn't really do much with it at first. I took drum lessons on the side to learn a drum kit, which was a whole separate thing than learning to play drums like with your school. Until I got to, I think it was eighth grade, I actually played in an orchestral setup where I was, you know, the drummer on the snare in the back that plays a little bit, just a couple of times during each song.
Right.
You don't really need that drummer.
Unless it's like the Christmas show, and then there's like little drummer boy comes in. And it's like, this is my time to shine.
Oh, I know. I shone. I really did shone.
You rump-a-pum-pum. Rump-a-pum-pum.
Yeah, man. We played, there was the Men in Black movie came out around that time, and I got to play a drum kit on the Men in Black song for some assembly. But it was, I mean, I was objectively awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty freaking cool. And in terms of like, wait, what were you in eighth grade at this?
Yeah, I think I was eighth grade.
At that time. That's about as cool, the coolest thing you could do as an eighth grader.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It felt good. But then that transitioned going into ninth grade. This is around 1999. Mm-hmm. And there was really no opportunity to play a drum kit for school. And what I ended up doing is trying to pursue just snare drumming for the marching band, because that was the most interesting thing that I could potentially do.
Yeah.
But generally they didn't let, you know, little ninth graders come in and pick up a snare drum. You had to start on like the one of the big basses or in the pit, is what they called it, the auxiliary.
You got to pay your dues. You can't just freaking waltz in here and get on the drum line.
Well, I tell you what, guess who did waltz in, picked up those sticks and played a snare. I did.
John Wayne?
Yeah. I did. I got to join the snare line as a ninth grader with another one of my friends, Dana. I think she came in ninth grade too. It was both of us. We were young and we were just hungry for it.
That's right.
Joined our friends. It was just a good time. It was awesome.
Was there some salty senior who was like, these damn freshmen coming in here waltzing onto my drum line?
Oh yeah. So salty. No, I don't think so. There was really good camaraderie there in the drum line. And because it was difficult, we were at a school that took drumline really seriously, and it hadn't always been that way, but there was an instructor that was really just like getting on us and wanted us to pursue, you know, greatness.
Yeah.
And because of that, he had heard about some audition that was in town, mm-hmm. and he wanted to send out his drum line to go try out for this thing because it was going to be a big deal.
I'm picturing Nick Cannon as this drum line coach, and I'm just going to keep picturing Nick Cannon no matter what you say.
Oh, Nick Cannon.
Have you seen the movie Drumline?
I have seen Drumline.
I'm basing all of my information off of marching band from the movie Drumline.
Imagine Nick Cannon's drumline without the style.
Okay.
Gotcha. And that was us. Does that make sense? Like zero style.
Totally.
Just a bunch of kids in Forsyth County, just upright in our outfits, just so serious and like crab stepping.
Yes.
So our drum instructor at the time said, hey, there's this thing, go try out for it. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of us went downtown. We're in the suburban area of Atlanta, but north. So like 45 minutes north.
Yeah.
So we all head down to downtown Atlanta and we go to this huge space. I think it was some kind of gym for a middle school or something like that. Bunch of kids pile in there. We don't even really understand what it is or what's going on. And we learn that these are tryouts for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Wait, once you get there, you learn this?
That's how I recall it. I may be completely misremembering it, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it was this whirlwind, like weird thing. And then we show up there and they announce this is what it is.
Wow.
I think it was a secret call out to like maybe band instructors and stuff in the area. Like, yeah. Hey, we need kids to try out for this musical performance. And then, you know, when we're there, we learn what it is. And then we all had to sign. I think I had to sign something.
Yeah. It's like, it's like when you audition for Marvel movies these days, it says like untitled Insect Man movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think this is Spider-Man. I'm auditioning for Spider-Man. They're like,
or Ant-Man.
Yeah. Could be also an insect. But yeah, for you, it'd be like, we need musicians for big sports game intermission performance.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Super Bowl?
Dude, but it was the Super Bowl halftime show and it was trials for that. And oh my God, you should have seen the competition in that room when all of us get there and we realize what it is and we're like, oh, this is my big break.
Yeah.
I've got to focus and do this thing. You get sheet music for drums. We all got these little floor toms. They're the drums that I guess they sit on the floor officially with legs, but they're kind of just round and are closer to the ground.
Yeah.
You stand over them and you play on top of them.
Right.
All of us go in there. We just kind of look at the sheet music. We play in unison on this thing. And we all notice that there are no drum heads on these drums.
Okay.
So the actual resonant thing that would make the tone when you hit a drum, there are these mesh heads on these things.
Okay.
And we think, oh, well, we're in this giant space, like it would sound crazy if we were all trying to play these drums together in this huge auditorium like thing.
Yeah.
This makes sense. It's like practicing the part.
Right.
Well, I end up getting it along with several other people. I don't think I knew anybody who was there who got it as well. I can't remember if you were there, Dana, or not. I'm sorry, or Blake, or any of y'all on the drum line. I can't remember.
So the auditions were individual auditions, not even like a group. Like it wasn't like you and the rest of the.
No. It was a group doing it.
Okay.
So somebody, whoever was in charge, was just watching us in this huge grid of kids playing these things. And they're just like picking out, you know, who's not in unison, who's
right.
out of line. We'll just cut that person. We'll keep everybody who can do this thing at once.
Wow.
But I got it. And oh my God, I was so excited, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My dad was so stoked. My mom was like, yeah, that's cool.
And so that day at the audition, they told you, they were like, you have been cast to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You're going to be in the Super Bowl halftime show. And wow. I'm thinking, my God, I'm playing drums in the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
All this hard work with my drum instructor outside of school has paid off. You know, I was good enough to make it in the snare line. It showed that it mattered that yeah. I was doing all this stuff, right?
It's all coming together. It's all paying off.
Yeah. So then we continue to rehearse. I think there's one more time where we rehearse this thing.
Okay.
And what they do is they, over these loudspeakers, they play the entire performance, like a pre-recorded thing that they put together so that we all like know the cues. So everybody knows what's going to happen when.
Yeah.
You're just listening to it and you're waiting for your cues and then playing your parts and then there's choreography in between where you have to do certain things when you're not playing.
Yes.
So we had to learn that and drill that, got it down. We were all excited. And I'm going to jump to the day before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Okay. This is what a lot of the reality starts setting in of what's actually going on, what's happening.
Yeah.
So we're at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, Georgia. At the time, that was where the football games were played.
Right.
And we're all in the backstage area, like inside the building, the parts that nobody gets to see, right?
Right.
And we're going to practice getting the entire stage onto the field, practice, going out, hitting our marks, doing the performance, and then getting it off the stage. Kind of like one of those one act plays that the kids do. I was an actor too. I did one act plays.
Oh yeah.
Where you have to bring the entire set onto the stage, perform your thing, and then get it off before some timer runs out.
Oh, so even like the festivals, you're talking about, like, I used to do drama festivals too that were like competitions. Yeah.
Bro. This is my state champion 2000-2001 Georgia High School Association.
Hell yeah.
What?
Yeah, I was a DTASC champion, which is the Drama Teachers Association of Southern California.
Oh my God. See, that's so much more legit.
I mean,
just because you got California in there.
It was, if you would win first place in that, in DTASC, you would perform at Paramount Studios and a thing called the Salute to the Winners. And like on a set, you would perform your 10 minute Shakespeare scene or whatever.
And, no.
Yeah. And like agents and producers would show up and but nothing ever happened.
Dude. I have a whole other story there where I performed in Of Mice and Men with all my friends my senior year and actually got to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. And we thought that was so amazing because we got to do International Thespian Conference.
Yeah. Were you a Lenny or a George?
I was not. I was Candy. I had one hand and my dog. Oh.
All right. We should remount this production.
Yeah. For sure. Did you say you did that as well?
No, I didn't do, I mean, International Thespian Society sounds like a dream as a high school student. No, we didn't get to participate in that one, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. but you did Of Mice and Men?
No, I'm just a fan.
Oh man. All right. Well, I want to learn more about you, Will. I'm just sitting over here blabbing.
I'm an open book. We can do a whole other. I feel like I need to do an episode where I tell some stories because nobody knows any of my fun stories. So maybe
we'll
flip the script one of these days.
I'm in. I'll interview you. Let's go.
yes, finally.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
So it's day before,
yes.
Day before the Super Bowl. You're at the stadium. You guys are rehearsing the transitions. How many people are involved in this production?
Oh my God. I don't even know how
it's
many.
Be hundreds, right?
Yes, there are easily hundreds.
Yeah,
because I guess should I paint the scene already? I feel like I'm revealing things in a weird order, but
I don't know. I mean. It's you know, as however the bones fall, that's how we read them.
All right, well, here we go. Throw the bones. Okay. All right. Roll the 20. Here we go. When we're there rehearsing, this is when I find out that I and all the drummers that have been rehearsing with me are going to be wearing these silver, strange looking, futuresque costumes.
Yes.
That are extremely unflattering on anyone's body. And they come with a silver spike helmet.
Cool.
A huge silver spike helmet. And
yeah, and just a reminder to everyone, this is the year 2000.
Yes.
Right?
It is.
This is the 2000 Super Bowl. The millennium has just happened. We are in a new millennium. And it's Disney, right? Is putting on this thing.
Oh, that's the yes, we should reveal that. It is Disney. The title of this Super Bowl halftime show officially is the E-Trade Super Bowl Halftime Show. The subtitle, or the alternate title, is Disney's Tapestry of Nations.
Wow. Brought to you by Enron and... It was a different time, people.
It was such a different time. Oh, my God. At the very end, well, yeah. It was in promotion of... the Walt Disney World's Millennium Celebration that was occurring in Walt Disney World.
Yeah. And the featured performers, am I spoiling anything if I reveal who some of the featured performers are?
Yes, you are, because we have to establish what else is on the stage before we establish the stars that were on the top of it, I guess.
I'm clearly too familiar with this halftime performance. I'm obsessed with it. It's a fever dream, and I've watched it multiple times this week.
God, dude. Okay, so I've got to say it was probably around 50 kids who looked just like me, younger people.
And in silver spandex outfits with spiky helmets.
Yep. And we've all got our drums that are our floor toms that are right in front of us.
Right.
And those floor toms have lights that shine up from under them.
Cool.
And okay, so imagine a big circle, right? There are two sections of us that are doing this as a part of that circle. Small pieces of the pie, though, really. In between us on the backside, there are two massive sections of a choir, like a huge choir, but they're separated into two sections. Those folks are wearing this weird flowy white thing that looks kind of like a nun, but not really like a nun, maybe from the future.
Also, I think I know which ones you're talking about. They're kind of whirling dervish-esque with rabbit heads.
That's exactly.
With rabbit ears.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, cool.
So they're there. Down on the bottom part of the circle, there is a full orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
All the instruments, they're wearing, you know, I think they're wearing suits, right? I need to rewatch it again, but I think they're like wearing formal orchestral attire.
Right. Yeah. They're in like tuxedos, but have like Fraggle Rock heads or something. Everything's kind of like sort of normal and then also just kind of insane. I love it.
There's also an entire group of actual snare drummers, like marching snare drummers, who have these silver, shiny, like almost mirror-like vests on and these feathered, huge feathered mane cap things.
Right.
They're all there.
The mirror bird section.
Mirror birds?
It's the millennium, you know.
Come on.
Anything
come on.
Goes.
It's a millennial celebration, guys. These are all the things you would find at any millennial celebration worth its weight in.
If you think, you know, like Cirque du Soleil costumes are weird, this show takes it to a whole different level.
Yes. Yes. And that's not even to mention the actual Cirque du Soleil performers who are there. Or maybe they're not from Cirque, but they are Cirque-like, right?
Yeah.
They can do all kinds of hanging things, stuff on ribbons. I don't know the real terminology for that. But they can do incredible acrobatic feats.
Aerialist silks.
That's it. Then you've got the dancers who are on the ground, probably some of the same people, but several of them are also puppeteers, and they're carrying these puppets that are four times the size of a regular human, maybe.
There's a lot of giant puppets in this halftime show.
Now, just to begin icing this cake, you got to throw in performances by, let's start with Christina Aguilera and Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah. And now, was this pre, was this mole Enrique, or was this post mole removal?
I have no idea. I imagine this is mole Iglesias, but
yeah, I think he still got the mole, which was prime time Enrique.
Well, it was definitely prime time Christina, because I saw her in person, and like, I just, you have no idea how mind blowing that was to see Christina Aguilera for this little boy in ninth grade who, you know,
she's a genie in a bottle. I mean,
she was a genie in a bottle. And yeah, I was a very sheltered child, mostly self-imposed, but,
but you built your own shelter.
That's right. That's right. I hid inside that cave that I dug out myself. So it's those two. They sing a song together. There's Toni Braxton.
Oh, yeah.
Who was huge. I mean, is huge, was huge. Phil Collins. The Phil Collins was there.
Just, I feel like he had just done Tarzan, maybe?
Yes.
Right.
And he performed a Tarzan song.
Yeah.
That I can't, I'm not even going to sing. I can sing it in my head right now, but I'm not going to sing it. Get out of here, Disney. You know you want me to.
Yeah, I'm trying to put a copyright claim on this episode.
That's right.
Not going to happen.
No. Oh, I forgot. Narrated by Edward James Olmos.
That's right. Of course.
Who's gone some ups and downs in his career. but an amazing voice either way, right?
I wrote down, some of the, a few of the lines that he says, just so you can remind you of what the vibe was. James almost at one point, he goes, "The sage of time has returned to rekindle the human spirit. The gates of time have opened as they do every 1,000 years for the great millennial walk or the great millennium walk."
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to correct you there slightly there, Will, because he said the gateway of time has opened.
The gateway of time.
Yes. Which for a little kid who plays a bunch of video games, watches a bunch of TV and movies, I know what a gateway is.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here that there's a gateway opening up?
Yeah. I mean, is there, are we about to enter a new dimension? The whole show really did feel like Disney was making a movie about the millennium. It's really hard to unpack everything that's going on in there.
Well, you know what? To me, honestly, as a good little Christian boy watching all this stuff happen, then noticing the giant idol that was also a part of the set, and it led to like the backstage area where the actors, singers, or whatever could go and hide while they weren't performing.
Right.
And we're talking towering. This thing was towering over everybody. There was a ton of fire involved during this.
There's a lot of pyrotechnics. Yes.
So much, dude. In the moment, I didn't think about it. But afterwards, I think I took part in some kind of Disney-sponsored ritual that altered time and space as we know it. I'm pretty sure something happened that night.
You opened some gates. You helped. Yeah. If you think about like a pagan ritual, it looks a lot like what you guys did.
Hey, look, man, I was just there, okay? Yeah.
I think maybe you guys stopped Y2K from happening. It was like, what maybe, you
No,
did.
this was January 30th.
Okay, so
yeah. So 30 days post everybody crapping themselves in their Windows 95 machines.
What a dumb thing that was. All the economy is going to crash because the computers are going to go to zero. Everybody go buy canned food. We were so simple. Simpler times.
Okay, so we got to jump back, everybody. Ready? We're jumping back to rehearsal night.
Yeah.
We're getting ready. I've got my helmet. I've got my sticks. My dad is there, and my mom, they're both there. My dad is so excited because he is going to assist in the backstage area in getting Phil Collins's drummer out, like the drum set physically out to the stage on Super Bowl night.
Wow.
And we're huge fans of Phil Collins, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
My dad's a singer. I like singing. I like playing drums. It just kind of fit.
I mean, one of the most famous drum fills of all time is from In the Air Tonight. And So, I mean, but I think he plays. Doesn't Phil Collins play the drums in that?
Or yes. Does,
yeah. He's a very talented
Man. You know what? Honestly, I can't say that with full certainty. I don't know if he plays the drums on that part, but I love that stuff. My dad was so excited. We get everything out onto the field the night before to test the thing, to do a rehearsal. And they play that track again that we've been rehearsing with. And I was like, okay, well, they're playing that track again. That's a little weird. Why does my drum still have the mesh head on it? That's weird. We go through the whole performance and rehearse again. I still think we're in rehearsal mode. I'm like, man, they're going to have to rehead these drums. Like, that's going to take a while. I guess I'll do it overnight. Then but I'm still freaked out, but everything is magical, right? Like Enrique Iglesias says in his song that he performs, a magical tomorrow lives inside of you. Okay. And that's what I felt. And I can't believe he said that. He said that. He sang that to Christina Aguilera. All right. So it's now Super Bowl night.
Yeah.
And we're all there and we're so excited. We are marching out. You know, all the groups like on the sidelines getting ready. The football has almost ended.
I love that we haven't talked about the football at all.
I don't even know who played. Who played?
Rams Titans.
Rams Titans, sure. Yeah. Football. It's great. I just don't know anything about it. but Rams Titans played. It was halftime. We all get out and then everything goes dark in the stadium except for, you know, some specific lights. The stuff is moved out, all these huge pieces, the giant idol, all the fireworks. We all march out there. I do trip. And oh, and by the way, I lost my helmet at one point backstage and they had to get me a new one because I completely misplaced it somewhere because there are all these hats. And I was like, wait, that's not mine. That's not mine. That's not mine. Oh God, where's my helmet?
I have the spiky one. That's a bird. That's a Mirror Bird helmet. That's a Fraggle Rock helmet. Oh God, where did I put my silver spiky helmet? I'm sure whoever the stage managers are for this too must just be losing their minds, like wrangling cats. Like, all right, all of you ninth graders in your like silver Lycra spandex outfits, please like stand in line over here. I lost my hat.
Damn it. But we'd only rehearsed this, you know, a handful of times. For a big rehearsal like this, I thought, oh man, you got to do this for a month at least.
Yeah.
But no, we hadn't. So then we're there running out. We're getting out there. I trip at one point and I tell myself it's because I saw Christina Aguilera because I did, but I don't know if that's why I tripped or I'm just clumsy, but I did trip. And I feel like I've embellished that story over time to where it's like, like I saw Christina and I fell and then she looked at me and thought it was funny. I don't think she saw me.
She winked. Crap. She did a little finger gun at you. And you're like,
it makes me feel better. but that's a fabrication, I believe. but then we get out there and we're ready for the performance. My drum head is still the fake drum head. Yeah. And I'm looking around at everybody and like, oh, I guess we're just doing it this way. And I realize this whole thing is on tape and we're just sitting out here in front of thousands and thousands of people and in front of millions of people on the television. And we're just pretending. We're just pretending to do a thing. And I realize it's a lie as it's beginning. Oh, no. And I'm just going, oh no, what?
No, nothing's real. Nothing matters.
Dude, it was such, I can't emphasize enough how mind blowing that was for me to see behind the curtain. I'd never seen behind any curtains before. Yeah,
and this is a pretty big curtain to take a peek behind.
Yes.
You're like, Phil Collins was 5'1". What the hell?
No, but it wasn't even that. It was watching the stage. And then on the video screens, Edward James Olmos's face comes up and he starts delivering that speech once again, as it does every thousand years. The Gateway of Time has opened and all this stuff. And on stage, there's a guy standing on stage that is not Edward James Olmos.
He's almost Edward James Olmos.
He's Edward James Olmos.
Almost.
But so that's like weird me out. Then Christina Aguilera and Enrique come out and they start mouthing the words. They start lip syncing on national television on this huge thing. And they're just, and I'm just lip syncing there for you. And they said, the future is coming. You got to catch it if you can.
Yeah.
And, but they're not actually, they're just mouthing that.
Right.
Then everybody else does their performances. It's crazy. It actually looks great if you like what the spiky drummers are doing. They're doing these weird lean back moves. The choir is doing some weird things. It makes their flowy gowns look funny.
Dervish. Look cool.
It looks crazy, kind of cool. But then I thought about the orchestra. And there's this entire full orchestra down there in tuxedos. And they're just pretending too. And then I thought, this can't be a ritual. If we were actually playing drums, if we were actually like chanting these things into the ether, if Olmos was there saying those words with the fire and the idol, if Phil Collins was actually on that riser going up towards the idol's head as the fireworks happened, maybe that would be a ritual.
If the human sacrifice was real and the blood was real, then maybe we would have opened the gates, the gateway.
It could have been a real cremation of care. And if you don't know what that is, look up the Bohemian Club and the Bohemian Grove. It's a giant owl and fake human sacrifice that presidents take part in. It's fun. It's real.
Yeah. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, Will. I feel like I had to tell you some of this because it was just the strangest thing I've ever done. And I can't believe somehow by this weird set of circumstances I got to be a part of it, but now I'm worried that I was a part of it.
And how it's how it's affected the next millennium.
Yeah. What did we do?
I don't know.
Like, it's gotten weird since then.
Yeah. And 2001, I think things really took a turn.
Yeah. So if we were, you know, if we were taking part in that ritual for positive things, like they said, we're going to celebrate the future hand in hand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we messed up. We messed up a part of it.
This is a hot take here, but I think Osama bin Laden was watching that and he was like, fuck these guys.
Oh my God.
And then, and now that's why. I think you guys caused 9/11. That's what I'm saying. It's a bold statement, but I think Disney caused 9/11. Hot take.
Oh, super hot take. Oh, that's so hot.
And you realized it right in the middle. You're like, oh my God, what am I a part of? Where's my hat? Why? Well, Christina's not real. She's just a hologram. Edward James Olmos is here. I don't even like football. What have I done?
Yeah, dude. But it was a positive message. It's the crazy thing to me is how positive it was and how almost naive it felt. And when you watch it now, like really, when you watch it now, it feels like a naive, positive vision of what the world and the earth and, you know, all of the countries working together, all the people, all the voices singing together. It feels like our cynicism has increased to such an extent that watching this feels insane. But in the moment on national television, everybody was just like, oh, yeah, it's Disney. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
It was a beautiful ideal, you know, it was the idealist vision of what the new millennium was going to look like. Yeah. And it was beautiful and super naive. I mean, really didn't know what was right around the corner.
Yeah.
But simpler and then with times.
It reminds me of how devastating September 11 was because there was this kind of spirit maybe that existed that was floating around magically. And it feels like that thing just got knocked right out.
Yep.
In hours.
Right.
That's weird to think about.
It's weird how I somehow wove 9/11 into this. That's going to be my new thing in this story time season. It's like, how can I bring up 9/11 every episode? Well, that reminds me a lot of 9/11.
God. Man.
Who won the game?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably the Rams. What is it? Rams and who?
Titans.
Packers? Titans. Okay, sure. It must have been the Titans because we remember them, right?
Yeah, right. Never forget the Titans. I think that's the same.
Yeah, something like that. I honestly don't know. I could have looked that up. I probably should have.
No, we'll never know. I just like the idea of you being backstage, just like reality is really sucker punched you in the gut, and you just don't, you're like, I don't care about anything anymore. Like, I nothing's real. This drum isn't real. Like,
nah, I was just worried about my hat until I was out there, and then it all just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Where's my hat? I tripped in front of Christina Aguilera. I'm wearing silver spandex. This does sound like a ninth grader's nightmare.
Yeah. But see, then I went on every Friday, almost every Friday, to put on a weird stinking suit, to strap on a snare drum and march around in front of all my schoolmates.
Yeah.
In between probably awesome games of football that I didn't watch.
didn't care about.
With all the cool, like the awesome, cool people in my school who were playing the games and cheering for the games and in the stands. But I did go tappy tap tap.
I know. Like,
pretty well.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, so first, last, best, worst, what was your first job?
My first job was working at the Piedmont Driving Club in Atlanta, Georgia, which is a world-renowned, very old private club, like a health club.
Club. I pictured like, oh, we drive cars around, like come to the driving club and we'll drive your car.
It is like that, but think the 1800s, because when this club was formed. And there's a right next to it. It's kind of on the edge of this place called Piedmont Park in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's a huge public park. And before it was that public park, the people who were members of this club would drive their carriages around, ride their carriages around with the little lake that's there. And I guess, I don't know, you frolic sometimes, whatever you do. I don't know what you do.
Drink lemonade out of jars and play cat's cradle.
Sure. And you delineate, you know, the property lines.
Right, right.
You and all your cohorts own.
Right. And like slavery was just abolished. So like that's new.
Huh?
What?
Yeah. It was a rollicking time there at the Piedmont Driving Club back then.
Right.
When I got there, my dad worked for them. I don't want to give too many specifics, but he worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
He was employed by them, but he wasn't like a part of the club, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I went there to be a snack bar. I don't know what you call it. It's kind of like a server, but behind a snack bar. So kind of like fast food.
Yeah.
And it was outside the pool.
Okay. A little pool snack boy.
Yeah. Cause this place is like a health club, but it doesn't have a golf course. At that time, it doesn't have a golf course associated with it, which is very weird.
Right.
Cause there are a ton of these private clubs in Atlanta and cities across the United States where the main thing is the golf club. And then you like do other stuff there too.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's like gym, spa, that kind of stuff. Squash courts were huge there. So I'm working there outside the pool. It's hot. It's summer. It's just a summer job. I'm a kid. I think I'm in 11th grade, maybe.
Okay. You've already been, you've already performed at the Super Bowl at this point. So
you're, yes,
you're kind of hot shit.
Oh yeah, man. I kept my spiked helmet. Yeah. I would like leave it behind the counter. And if anybody, you know, just got a little mouthy, I'd be like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let me strap this thing on.
Look at this.
All the girls around the pool would be like, that's Matt. He played the drums for Christina Aguilera and Edward James Olmos.
He's an exceptional employee. So it's very weird working for this place. And what I remember learning there, I guess it was my first job. It meant a lot to me, though, because it was the first time I really got to see the way the ultra wealthy live.
Yeah.
Like the top of that 1% cream stuff that rises up there.
Yeah.
Because with this place, you had to have my salary that I make right now. Mm-hmm. You had to pay that like on a yearly basis just to hang out with them.
Yeah.
You know,
just to gain access to this pool.
Yeah.
And squash court.
Yeah. And then every month, they've got all these facilities and all these restaurants, including the snack bar.
Real, yeah.
Yeah. Where you can get prepackaged peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at any time.
Right. For $18.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to pay a thing because when you're inside the club, you just give your member number.
Right.
And then all of that accrues up and you got to pay that on a monthly basis. And you have to pay a certain amount every month or you're out of here.
What a racket.
Jeez. But I got to watch how they live, and I got to watch how, you know, different people, when you're at that status, you know, on a society level, on an economic level, how you treat, quote, the help, like
right,
me,
right.
Like the people who are there just working for you, right? Or yeah. performing a service for you. And the vast difference between someone who values just other people, other mm-hmm. humans, and people who just, you know, view me, us as cogs in this machine that they've got built for them.
Yeah.
It was very, very meaningful for me. It's not really a great story.
No, I, but it is a life lesson that, you know, it definitely had an impact on you. I mean, I feel like everyone at some point needs to work in the service industry because mm-hmm. I think people who are unkind to servers or waiters or anyone in the service industry, I think they're scum. They're the scum of the earth.
It's terrible because I want to have empathy for those people too. Like I want to understand what's going through their minds when like I want to psychologically analyze that. Like
yeah.
why would you treat someone like that? That doesn't make sense to me. That's one of the reasons I love making true crime shows with Tenderfoot and some of those, you know, those other guys. Cause it's just, we get to analyze the human brain and why it does things.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the first job.
So that's my first job. Okay.
Last job is your current job.
Yes. Last job is I was an intern at How Stuff Works in 2006.
Wow. So, yeah. So you've been 16 years, same job.
Yeah.
So I'm going to maybe assume that that's also the best job.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was,
I want to get you in trouble.
That's fine. No, it is for sure. I was an intern videographer, video editor, video producer, senior video producer. What was the next one? Then we became podcasts only because I was all video for a long time. I have a video degree. And then it became, you know, podcast producer, supervising producer, executive producer, and podcast host. So being a podcast host, I think, is my favorite sub version of my last job.
Yeah. But look at that. I mean, that ladder that you've just climbed up from intern all the way up to being here on hashtag story time.
Yeah, man. I ripped those rungs away so no one else could come up behind me. Yeah, no.
Right. You burn that bridge behind you as you cross.
No, that's one of the great stories about How Stuff Works, honestly, and the group of people with whom I work. Because, I mean, God, I could name so many people right now that started as interns at How Stuff Works in, mm-hmm. you know, before 2010, several of them I ended up meeting in college. Like our worlds just kind of intersected. We all ended up working there. A bunch of people like Annie, like Ben, who have been working with me since we were babies, basically, when we were little kids. We were in our early 20s. And just watching us grow as a family, no matter who acquired us, it's been pretty stinking great.
Yeah, and for any of the listeners out there, How Stuff Works was acquired by iHeart in when was it?
2019, I think. 2019.
And basically became the podcasting division and department of all of iHeart.
Yep.
Okay, so that would be first, kind of last, and best. So what would be the worst job that you've had?
The worst job I ever had was being a caretaker for my dog, Buddy.
Oh.
I consider this kind of a job because this is a sad one.
Yeah. I already,
he's this little
my heart's already breaking.
Well, get ready. Okay. He's this little Dachshund Terrier. Tiny little guy, huge body, way too big, kind of plump. Tiny little legs, adorable face. He's got he looks like a little wizard, little scruffy looking face, kind of brindly. He was the first dog I ever had with my wife at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this back, man, and it's too heavy in the middle.
Yeah.
And every time he would jump up and down from a couch, it was like tiny little, you know, like a needle or like a single little cut. You know, imagine 1,000 cuts.
Yeah.
And one day I came home from a band rehearsal. I was playing in a band called Lions and Scissors, which was just this really weird, cool Radiohead-like band in Atlanta.
Cool name.
And came, yeah, oh, it was weird. I think it should have been Lions and Scissors instead of Lions and Scissors.
Oh, Incisors.
Yeah. I think, yeah, but again, either way, whatever. It was an awesome band.
Did you wear your spiky helmet in that band? This one?
Every time.
Sick.
Every time.
Sick.
But I came home from rehearsal. It was pretty late, and he was usually good at the house alone. When I opened the door, he was sitting funny, I didn't understand what was going on, and he couldn't move his back legs.
Oh, no.
So after a bunch of calls, late night, figuring out what's going on, taking him to an emergency vet, we find out that he needs surgery, and we can't afford it.
Yeah.
But we find out that at University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia, they have students who are in the veterinary program who will do things like that for way cheaper. It's a little more risky, I guess, yeah. But there's still people who are learning, and you know, this is one of their big tests.
Yeah.
You know, can I actually do this? So we decided to try that. He got his surgery and he was still paralyzed,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't sure what was going to happen. It was just compression, by the way. It was just disc compression that was pressing so hard in this one area that it shut off.
Yeah, I know with dachshunds and with corgis, they have hip dysplasia which is why you see, I feel mm-hmm. a lot of those dogs with the little carts that kind of take the weight and carry mm-hmm. the back legs.
But in this case, with this guy, what I had to do with Diana at the time is we had catheters,
mm-hmm.
Physical little catheters, because he couldn't control his urine or his feces.
Guy.
So I had to physically put a catheter in him all day long. I had to do this to make sure he always had gone to the bathroom. And man, that was first of all, it's an uncomfortable thing to do, right? Shove something up your dog's private part.
Yep.
And then to express, you had to physically express the bladder.
Uh-huh.
And I'd do that for a long time. But guess what? That little dude, about a month later, I went out to get the trash cans. You take the trash can out to mm-hmm. the edge of the street, bring it back. Went out to get the trash can, and I brought him with me. I set him down out there on the street. And for the first time in over a month, he kind of moved his legs around, and then he ran to Diana.
Oh,
it was amazing. And he fully recovered after that, and he was totally fine.
Oh,
Yep, and he lasted for
okay. I'm glad.
Years?
I'm glad that
like
that
6 months.
Story had a happy ending. I was I don't know if we can end the podcast on
Exactly. Well, the lesson is, even when you get really injured, you can recover. You can recover from anything. And I'm still recovering from the ritual, that Disney
put you through.
I don't know what you call it. Put me through.
Forced you into.
But
tricked you. They tricked you into it. Lies.
One step at a time.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have to stay at that job long, and that you got out of it.
Right?
All right. Well, Matt, that was awesome.
Thanks for listening to Hashtag Storytime. Huge shout out to Matt Frederick for coming on the pod. If you're a fan of the unexplained, then check out Matt's podcast, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. Links in the description. Please take literally 2 seconds right now, grab your phone, and hit the follow button so you don't miss next week's episode with McCall Mirabella.
Because Max and I, we had played so many Ouija boards in the past. So we were like pros.
Yeah.
I was ready. And basically, through some conversation, we realized that we were talking to a spirit named Zach. And he was a little boy who lived in my house, is what he said.
Nope. No, I'm out. I'm already out. I would already, like, kid ghosts are the scariest ghosts.
Oh, no. He was kind of nice. He was friendly.
If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a review. It helps us out a lot, and I literally read every single one of them. If today's episode made you think of your own story, I want to hear it. Call the Storytime Hotline at 323-741-1873 and tell us your story to be featured on an upcoming Listener Tales episode. And if you just can't get enough Storytime, give us a follow on the gram at storytime.pod or on TikTok at storytime.podcast. Hashtag Storytime is produced by iHeartRadio and Curativity Productions. Hosted by Will McFadden. Sound design by Tony Maddox. Written by Will McFadden and Jason Shapiro. Produced by Jason Shapiro, Daniela Mora, and Jordan Elijah Michael. Theme song by Scott Simons.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.